From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, picnic, Willie Nelson's 4th of July tradition.
I think Willie just thought it was a great idea to get all his friends together and perform.
Whiskey River, take my mind.
Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic is a cherished Texas tradition that began in 1973. The mostly annual event was hosted and somewhat organized by the legendary American music artist. In the midst of all of its chaos, it was a celebration of the spirit of independence and community. The picnic is renowned for its eclectic lineup, featuring country, rock, and folk artists, reflecting Nelson's diverse musical influences. And beyond the music, it embodies the essence of Texas hospitality, offering a welcoming atmosphere where attendees can relax and share stories, pass the bottle, and enjoy the festive environment. The picnic has become a symbol of unity and celebration, highlighting the power of music to bring people together. For many Texans, it's more than just a concert. It's a beloved tradition that honors the state's rich cultural heritage and the enduring legacy of Willie Nelson. Dave Dalton Thomas has written a book all about it, Picnic, Willie Nelson's 4th of July Tradition. He has become the unofficial official historian for Picnic.
It all started when I was drinking a beer in Luckenbach. I had worked in San Angelo as a young copy editor. I wasn't even a reporter, and I just had Mondays and Tuesdays off, you know, and what does a young man do in San Angelo on a Monday night in 1995? Yeah, it was really not much. So I started going around looking for some interesting places, and I ran across Luckenbach and was hanging out there one day when Willie's people and the Luckenbach management made the deal to have the first Luckenbach picnic in 1995. And when they started talking about getting a journalist to break the news, I just happened to be right there.
Willie Nelson had this picnic tradition. Did he consider it a music festival? What does Willie Nelson think about, you know, what he was doing?
Willie had seen the Dripping Springs reunion, which had been held in 1972. And of course, you know, like anybody of that era, I mean, they were familiar with Woodstock and the Atlanta International Pop Fest. And he just thought, man, this is just a great idea. He wanted to get in on the action. Willie actually started, I mean, it was the first festival named after a singular performer. I think Willie just thought it was a great idea to get all his friends together and perform.
But July, I mean, like you're right, it's not the hottest month in Texas, but it's pretty near close.
Yeah. Yeah, Johnny Bush told Willie, when Willie told him about his idea, Johnny Bush told him, said, man, there's no way in hell a bunch of cowboys are going to come out in 100 degrees to watch us play guitar. And, yeah, don't underestimate Willie.
So Willie's power was the ability to attract the cowboys, the rednecks, and also the long hairs, bring them together into to come to the festival and to his shows. And this is before Willie was the huge, mega, international, living legend. Who were Willie's fans at the time?
They said, you know, it was that August 12th, 1972 night at the Armadillo World Headquarters, in which they said Willie brought the hippies and the rednecks together. And it was very much so. I mean, he would go play, honky-tonk and round rock, and then he would play the Armadillo World Headquarters in Austin and every spot in between. He was just a serious up-and-comer. People of all sorts liked his music and his message. It really hasn't changed from then to now. You go to a Willie Nelson concert and you see one of everybody.
Son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bike.
you write about the experience of the picnic, they sound horrible. You know, hot, dusty, out of beer, out of patience. But, you know, people loved them. So paint me a picture. What it's like, what was it like to go to the early picnics?
The early picnics were definitely a lesson in chaos. I mean, certainly if you were a young man who was, high on whatever and just grooving and having a good time, not worrying about sunburn or tomorrow in any form or fashion, you were having a great time. If you were an older person who desperately needed to go to the bathroom or wash your hands, you were probably not having as good a time as the other folks. It was hot. Yeah, if I named the book after the first thing everybody told me, it'd be called It Was Hot. It was disorganized. And there wasn't always a place to get fresh, cold water or a reasonable place to go to the bathroom. Some, did better than others. Parking may have been an issue. It may not. You may park on site and get right in, or you may park 12 miles away and start walking. It was crazy.
But Willie had a good time because, he kept doing them.
Yeah, eventually Willie got the idea that this really was an annual reunion between him and his friends, who he really didn't get to see that often because everybody had different performing schedules. And it was a way for him to boost some of his older mentors who may not have, good touring schedules anymore. They may not, have lucrative dates. And it was a way for him to boost the younger musicians who could definitely get a boost from the exposure.
But the exposure, were the picnics just limited to that event? Or was there more to it that if you performed at the picnic, you gained notoriety, people wrote about it? How important was it to perform at the picnic?
Well, during the first era of the picnic, from 1973 through 1980, it was well covered by a lot of different media. The 1980 picnic had a reporter from a newspaper in Ottawa, Canada there. And it was abnormally hot in Texas that summer, so that poor fellow really had a difficult time. But for the most part, the Los Angeles, the Nashville papers, they would come and cover the picnic. And if you had a big performance, people would take note. Now, after the picnic sort of decreased in scale, it didn't provide that much notoriety.
So you and I were talking about Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic tradition, and we seem to be kind of going on two different paths here. One of them was we're talking about how challenging it was to organize these things, how chaotic they were, leaving all the trash behind. And the other issue is the music that came from these events. And these two things existed simultaneously. Did they feed off of each other?
Yes, absolutely. I think the music is why a lot of people came, despite the hardships and the chaos. There's not a lot of instances where people came away saying, oh, I can't believe that, we had that show. It sounded so awful. What was going on stage almost always worked. It was just the area in front of the stage where they had their troubles.
And you write a lot about the chaos in trying to organize the picnic events, and some of the people that worked with Willie to do that seemed to be a bit unhinged.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one in particular was Gino McCausland, who was a promoter from Dallas, who was a longtime Willie Nelson buddy. And if you, listen to Willie documentaries or read Willie books, there's always a Gino McCausland story in there. Mostly he tends to be a punchline. But the man was, did have a mental illness. And I tried to paint him with a little bit more humanity.
You talk about him being bipolar.
Yes.
And having access to weapons.
Yes, and self-medicating with vodka and cocaine.
But it doesn't seem like he was the only one enjoying those pastimes.
No, definitely not, especially in those early days. There was the story from the Victoria Advocate talking about a reporter was out there at the 1976 picnic in Gonzales, and he said there was people going around the crowd just hawking cocaine, cocaine, come get it.
It was a different time back then. How many picnics have you been able to attend?
I've attended every one in Texas since 1995, with the exception of the 2022 one, which my kids brought COVID to me back from Colorado.
What experience do you have from that? What do you remember from attending? You said, "Wow, this is great. I can't wait to write a book about this."
I just enjoyed the heck out of the experience all the way through. I do believe my favorite experience was 1996 in Leuchtenbach when Waylon showed up in Leuchtenbach for the first and only time.
Waylon had a mega hit, played over and over again on the radio, Leuchtenbach, Texas, but he had never actually been there.
No, he had never been there, and neither had the songwriters. Chips Moman and Bobby Emmons wrote the song after hearing a description of the place from Guy Clark, who had been part of Jerry Jeff Walker's contingent when he was recording Viva Terlingua.
And based on that, they were able to write one of the biggest pop songs of the decade.
It, when the magic happens, it happens.
So why did Waylon Jennings hate the song?
I'm not really sure. I've read several books in which Waylon, pointed out that I just don't like the song. He never has explained, why, but with being Waylon, he didn't really have to. If he didn't like it, he didn't like it. But he understood that the fans loved it, and he reluctantly sang it from time to time.
So for him to get to the Leuchtenbach place, he said he would never go there, and then he ended up going. That there was a lot of anticipation that Waylon would arrive, although it wasn't completely certain that would happen.
In the pre-cell phone days, in the crowd, there was a lot of rumors going around that, he wasn't going to show, that he was camped out in Fredericksburg, refusing to come. You had no idea what was going on until he eventually stepped onto the stage. And by this time, it was after dark.
And then he does get on the stage and he begins to perform, and people are loving it. He's doing great. He's sober, and so it's a good show. And then he says, "Good night, everybody," and he starts to walk off. And then what happens?
Well, Willie called out to him and said, "Hey, aren't you going to do that song that made you $8 million?" And Pootie kind of stood in Waylon, the stage manager, Pootie Locke, kind of stood in Waylon's way as much as he dared. And Waylon turned around and said, "Okay." And Willie kind of led the way through it, but they sang it together, and it was a cool moment to be there.
Let's go to Leuchtenbach, Texas, with Waylon and Willie and the boy. This successful life we're living's got us feeling like the Hatfields and McCoy. Between Hank Williams' pain songs, Newberry's strange songs, blue eyes crying in the rain. Out of Leuchtenbach, Texas, nobody feeling no pain. Maybe let's sell your diamond rings, buy some boots and faded jeans and go away. Your coat and tie are killing me, and in your high society you cry all day. We've been so busy keeping up with the Joneses, four-car garage, and we're still building on. Maybe it's time we got down to some basics and love. Sure.
But still, there were so many people that would perform year after year. Who were some of the other big stars? acts that would show up?
Well, kind of intermittently, you'd have folks, you know, as big as Merle Haggard and Chris Christopherson, and in the early days, Waylon and Leon Russell would kind of come, you know, when they could. But you had a smaller contingent of, you know, basically Picnic cadre that were there almost every year. And that includes Ray Wiley Hubbard, Billy Joe Shaver, Sleep at the Wheel, David Allen Coe.
Ray Price.
Ray Price, yes.
Now, was that just there to please the county judge? Why? How does he fit into all that?
Ray Price was one of Willie's mentors. And I think Willie just wanted to give him a big payday every now and then, just as a means of saying thank you. And, you know, the Ray Price didn't necessarily make a lot of sense at the picnic when, you know, it's people are out there sweating and, you know, it's still 100 degrees after dark. You know, when it's Ray Price, you don't dare say anything bad about him. You just, you know, shut up and listen. He, you know, the man could sing.
Oh, when the evening sun goes down, you will find me hanging around. Oh, the nightlife ain't no good life, but it's my life. Many people just like me, dreaming of old used to be. Oh, the nightlife ain't no good life, but it's my life. Listen to the blues they're playing. Yeah, listen to what the blues saying.
To the point about the local politics involved of getting the picnic done, they did have to work with the local sheriff and the county commissioners, and because bringing the picnic to a place like Gonzales would certainly be something that would be disruptive to the local communities. How did they work all that out?
Yeah, it was they had the Texas Mass Gathering Act, and that required them to get a permit from the county court. The county commissioners had to approve it. And what happened in Gonzales was there was a very successful group of residents who opposed it. And at first, the permit was not approved in Gonzales.
These were people who were standing up for morality and decency.
Right. They called themselves the Citizens for Law, Order, and Decency, or the CLODs, as they unironically called themselves.
And so they said, we don't want none of that picnic nonsense here in Gonzales.
Right. And because they had made headlines across the state already in 74 and 75 for the nudity and the drunkenness and, you know, people passed out at the site and the trash left over. And they just thought, well, you know, this is our community and we don't want that kind of element here.
So what made the change since they were able to prevent the permit from being issued?
I think eventually Willie came to the town, and Willie, I guess, is very, very charming. And he talked with some of the county commissioners, and they eventually got the approval for a 1-day picnic in Gonzales. And once that permit was granted, then they kind of expanded it to, well, let's do a second day and a third day. And in the end, the whole thing was as chaotic and disorganized and frankly, as sinful as the CLODs, you know, feared.
So he would like rent like a ranch or something to hold?
Yeah, they had the Sterling Kelly Ranch outside of Gonzales. Willie brokered a deal with the landowner there. And that's they made the improvements to it. The rancher got a lot of money. He was left with a lot of trash.
And he sued Willie over that, right?
Yeah, he did.
because he needed to get that trash picked up. So then Willie Nelson eventually says, let's do this, because he had bought the old abandoned country club in Pinellas, and that's where it was going to be his home. And he says, this is going to be the permanent home for the picnic. So what happened there?
Well, Willie was fond of declaring a permanent home for the picnic. I think he liked that idea. And the golf course on which he held the picnic stage was up at the top of the ninth hole, and the crowd was spread out downhill. Unlike a usual amphitheater, the crowd was downhill and the stage was uphill. And Willie had it there for 2 years in a row, which was pretty remarkable. And in fact, the last year, he even made a little bit of money.
Thousands of music lovers are still in the hills to the west of Austin tonight enjoying the annual Willie Nelson 4th of July picnic. They've been there since early this morning. David Glott has a report.
Willie Nelson's version of a 4th of July picnic was played out in a new location, the Texas Hills west of Austin. Nelson himself opened the event on a country club he purchased for $250,000.
Whiskey River take my mind.
Close to 30,000 were packed beneath the stage on what was once fairways, sand traps, and greens. The music lovers crowded the small country roads into the site. Once inside, they were literally elbow to elbow. With temperatures in the 90s, they cooled off underwater from tank trucks or devised their own methods to stay out of the sun. A team of 150 first aid volunteers treated hundreds for heat prostration and drug overdoses.
Some will argue that the crowd this year was not as big because of the gas crunch, and it may have had a bearing on the turnout, but those who attended didn't seem to care one way or the other.
Yeah, at this point in 1980, he had become a movie star, and he had a Redheaded Stranger and Stardust, and he was making a gazillion dollars. And he just said, well, you know, this is the last picnic in 1980. And it was for a couple of years. They didn't have a picnic in 81 or 82.
What was the ritual of the picnic?
They usually open the gates around 11, and they'd start the music at 12, of course, with the national anthem, because it was July 4th. And sometimes Willie would take the stage and introduce the opening act, especially if the opening act was a kind of a better-known act that had to be somewhere else later in the day. He'd start off, you know, with the smaller acts, and they'd get just four or five songs, and that would grow throughout the day. Sometimes Willie in the early days would sit in with people and jam. You know, eventually he got to the age where he was discouraged from doing that. His family wanted to keep him rested up for his own set. Two most important parts of the day when it came to the picnic. And the first was when the sun finally set below the horizon. Because, you know, you're outside and it's been a long, hot day, and it doesn't get much cooler when the sun sinks behind the horizon, but it sure feels that way. And the other thing is when Willie comes out and hits those opening chords to Whiskey River. At this point, not only you get to see Willie, but you've pretty much survived the day. And at the end of the picnic, all the artists that were still there, they would come out and do a gospel sing-along with Willie. And the picnic would usually end each year with I Saw the Light.
Well, I wonder, though, has the sun set on the tradition?
That's a good question. And, you know, I would speak to Willie's family when I'd speak to the people who worked for Willie. You know, of course, the answer is that we don't ever talk about a world without Willie in it. So, you know, nobody is answering questions about whether or not there'll be a picnic when Willie's gone. I can't see a Willie Nelson 4th of July picnic without Willie Nelson. I know every era thinks their picnic is the most special. Certainly I enjoyed my run of seeing Willie and Merle Haggard and Christopherson and Ray Wally Hubbard and those guys, you know, some of my favorite artists.
Do people say like the ones from the 70s, was that when it was most pure?
Definitely that was when it was most exciting. And that those are the ones that, you know, couldn't happen today. Of course, you know, there'd be a thousand lawsuits, you know, if anything like that happened. But it makes for good memories and it makes for good mythology. And, you know, the people going today to these picnics over the past 10 years can look back at the history of this event and say, well, you know, I was you know, a small part of that.
Well, the book reads like I'm sitting in a bar and hearing people swapping stories about picnics that they went to and having a good time talking about it.
Thank you. That's what I was going for.
You captured a history that otherwise probably would be lost because many of these folks they're not going to be around much longer.
Yes, I interviewed 117 different people for this book, and there were some that I missed right off the bat. Johnny Bush and Jerry Jeff Walker and Billy Joe Shaver all died as I was getting into starting the book, and other sources died as I was writing it. So definitely there was stuff that I missed. If I was able to go back, start a little bit earlier, I would have gotten more, but I feel lucky to get what I got.
What's been the reaction to the book?
Everybody that I've talked to that has read it has said they've enjoyed it, which is very gratifying. A fellow music journalist and stuff have said it was good, which is very gratifying. I think what I enjoy most are the Super Willie fans who come up to me and say, you know, thank you for writing this, because they feel like, you know, like you just said, that, you know, we've captured something that would have been lost.
Funny how time just slips away. Well, I gotta go now. And I guess I'll see you around. Low and low, I never know, I never know, I never know when I'll be back in town. But remember what I tell you, that in time you're gonna pay.
Dave Dalton Thomas is the author of Picnic, Willie Nelson's 4th of July Tradition. It's published by Texas A&M University Press. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. Email us at texasmatters@tpr.org. You can find past Texas Matters programs at tpr.org and download us wherever you get cool podcasts. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.